Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another series of our podcast, Let's Talk Cloud Networking Unscripted, with me and John Gonzalez. So today, very excited to welcome Jennifer Reed to our show. She is somebody who has been working in the cloud, as a cloud networking professional for a number of years now. We have been interacting with her as technical peers for a number of years, and we feel that people and audience would not only benefit from her journey in terms of getting inspired on how they can be relevant for to help their business in the cloud, but at the same time, she is also a founding member of one of our strategic partner D3 Clarity, formerly Victor Davis. So I would like to also let her tell about the journey of the work that she has been doing with some of our customers, and also talk about what are some of the lessons learned when working with customers who are moving to the cloud, because cloud is still very new, and there's always lessons learned in terms of a better way of doing things. And there's no price in terms of the value that you can get out of listening to people who have been doing this, because then you can accelerate the journey for your business as well. So Jennifer, welcome to the show. Really good to see you here again.
Thank you. Hi, nice to see you too. Hi. Nice to meet you, John.
And you too, Jen.
So Jennifer, maybe you want to talk about, because I think before we get to the customers and D3 Clarity journey, right? I'm really interested in having you explain your cloud networking journey, because I think you have been, like most of us, been working with the on-prem networking security, the whole nine yard, and then you took that leap 4 or 5 years ago into the cloud networking security. You've been working with several cloud providers. And I think you have that prescriptive mindset now in terms of really advising customers on how they should be treating their architectures in the cloud, specifically from networking security angle. So maybe just give a little bit of introduction about yourself and how did you get into the cloud and what your journey looks like.
Sure. So I joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. It's how I paid for college. And so as part of that, I worked in the Intel field. And so we always had the separation of environments. So there are different types of secure clouds with their different network and communication equipment. So from that perspective, right at the age of 18, I was exposed to the fact that there can be completely separate networks. Now, of course, today, when we talk about public cloud and we talk about different environments, they're not truly separated, but trying to create using networking equipment and firewalls to actually create that separation is kind of similar. But starting out from those early days, from everything from creating fiber optic cables and coax cables to wire things together. So those very early days where we didn't even have Ethernet. So a lot of it was banyan vines and token ring and how those networks worked and didn't work until we actually got to TCP/IP and the internet to actually connect larger systems together. So out of that, when I left the Marine Corps, I actually worked as a Unix consultant and network engineer for some broadband providers, Excited Home, out of Silicon Valley very early in 2000, and then also Altel Communications, converting COBOL systems into Java systems. once again, and leveraging that communication and actually bringing them up to date at the time to TCP/IP so that we could leverage those that networking fabric in the early days of MPLS and WANs. Then I worked for the banking industry. I worked for both Morgan Stanley and doing system engineering to actually do the trading systems for online trading. And then actually doing failover and DR and clearinghouse transactions. And actually having a lot of this all ties together with understanding how systems and applications, especially in those days, were very dependent on you also understanding the network fabric in which it ran, mm-hmm. right? And so one of the things that I think is really helpful is back in the day, I suppose, but really understanding how DNS, how mm-hmm. networks and routes, and how systems communicate and applications communicate and certificates, was all part of that conversation. So today, when we're talking about the public cloud, it's no different than that. Mm-hmm. It's just that, unfortunately, a lot of that is obfuscated from the actual software developers. So they don't actually always understand how DNS works or can work for their application. Yeah. They also don't understand how network IPs and routes work. And they also don't understand how you can create separation between your environments and how you can do that quickly and flexibly. But as part of my journey, it's just been that more and more enterprises are trying to take advantage of the economies of scale mm-hmm. that you can get by leveraging the cloud, but not understanding how to bridge that gap. And mm-hmm. I've always been one to want to really solve more difficult problems. And so help customers from that perspective get there. Does that make sense?
So yeah.
Nothing changes. It stays the same. It just shifts.
you're absolutely right. Nothing changes. The concepts, the capabilities that existed on-prem still need to exist in the cloud. The difference is customers don't want their on-prem people to do it because their on-prem people used to take 6 months, 12 months plus, and want a huge capital budget to do it. You know, mm-hmm. there's no tolerance for that anymore. You move into the cloud, I want to move with the cloud agility, and mm-hmm. I don't have a capital budget. I'm going to pay for use, you know. I'll pay for what right. I use, and I don't need it anymore, I'll turn it off. It's that simple. Why do I need you on-prem guys anymore? And that's right. how some of them are thinking.
Right. And that makes sense, except it's really, and they start to get into this area when they actually want to connect their different yeah. cloud environments together and allow routing to work. Yeah. Because unfortunately, they're, like I said before, since their software developers and application teams have been trained in isolated VPCs and connections that are isolated, when they actually have to get those multiple pieces to connect, and they can't, is when they really start to understand that there was a fundamental part of their design that they didn't really think through, right? And that's the actual networking between VPCs, but also namespaces and certificates and how I can manage those. And, you know, creating split horizons where I have a true intranet backplane versus an internet, which is a public front door, and why I would want to keep those isolated and how that can be done, and the best people to really fully help design that and roll that forward with the application teams are the on-prem and security engineers, right?
So would you agree, Jen, that you know you should take for your networking, for your security, an architecture first approach rather than a DevOps guy shoving out stuff into public cloud and then scratching his head and worrying about, is it safe? Am I secure? Do I need to pull it down? When's my audit guy going to be on my back, etc.? Because I may have done things very, very quickly because I wanted to have a little playground for myself in public cloud. So I guess the question is, how seriously do you think customers are taking, look, I've got to have the right architecture. I want to do this once. And I don't want to have to keep renewing or, changing my networking and security every sort of 12 months.
Well, I think it really depends on the organization. So the customer that I do a predominance of my work with, Avis, they've taken a very strong architecture first. We still iterate. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, cloud capabilities and what cloud service providers, ISPs might provide 1 year is going to change in every 6 months. They enhance their capabilities, enhance those features that each thing has. And so you have always a chance to do it even better. But more importantly, you have the chance to actually design it right as you go out of the door. And if you start with an architecture first of how can we do it? How can I have a conversation with my global information security team, my legal team, the business, and understand what their timelines are, but also how we do it. There are technologies that allow me for sensitive information companies that deal with highly regulated data. There are technologies like Aviatrix that allow you to very flexibly and quickly roll out segmentation, you know, between different environments that actually can meet some of those requirements and needs of, you know, PCI regulation or HIPAA regulation for hospitals and healthcare. But it's coming and knowing that I should have that and having leadership at an organization at the, you know, executive level that says, you know what, I know I can do this right. And I know that I can do it securely and reduce our risk, right? So let's just start doing it that way. And the application team, if you give them a process that they can still follow and they can still have good timelines to hit so they can make the business happy, that's all they're looking for, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Unfortunately, the on-prem guys have got such a, you know, a poor reputation because of the length of time they've taken to do stuff. You know, people don't have the confidence that you can move or they can move at the speed of light to get on the cloud. And that's why they kind of ignored until it's too late and they're pulled in at the last minute. And then all hell breaks loose because there's a lot of retrofitting that needs to be done from a networking and security perspective.
And I think, I think the speed is speed and agility is the number one thing of why a business would want to go to cloud. And from an on-prem perspective, you know, the people who are against it is also, I mean, if you look at the human factor, right, that most of these people have been doing data center networking security for decades, right? And humans are not open to change that easily, right? So they will resist as much as they can. I think actually one of the questions that I have for Jennifer is, how did you get exposed to cloud, right? And let's say you have great experience with working on so many diverse areas, right? And in a very quick time, you were able to gather all that experience. And then you eventually work with some customers who was moving to the cloud. And at that point, initially, the way it starts is you are moving to the cloud, you're doing some projects in the cloud, but your center of gravity is still on-prem. And you would see that in many enterprises, this is still the case. They're moving to the cloud, but they have really not thought about cloud as the center of gravity. For on-prem is still a center of gravity. And the way to think, the right way to think about this is, okay, if you have decided to move to the cloud, then your data center is actually the cloud, not the on-prem. Yes, you need to connect back to on-prem, but then the way you look at the cloud and then your skill set, your knowledge, the way you do infrastructure as a code, the compliance and security needs to be catered to that. It should not be the old world of what people say, if I connect to the cloud, then I am a multi-cloud. That's a basically old world definition of some of the larger vendors I've seen is, I have my own data center. I'm going to connect to AWS and Azure, and that's become my multi-cloud. There's a whole world inside the cloud, which is your center of gravity. So how did you get exposed to the cloud? And then how are you advising customers to think about their architectures? Because each CSP will have their own tools that they're selling, right? And they say, hey, we do everything and everything. So it's sometimes being a career professional that is not biased towards one CSP to other CSP, you have to use that experience to give a very prescriptive approach, right? So what has been your experience in terms of how you exposed, how do you evolve yourself personally to have that mindset of looking at cloud as the center of gravity, and then your advice to your customers? And that I think would be very good for people to hear.
Right. So I think so for me personally, I was working as a software product manager at the time. So I ran the whole stack, but I was a software product manager, and we had a DevOps stack that was managed in a local data center, and it was very unreliable. And so I needed to hit my production releases. And so we just recoded and created our own development stack in the code of code in the cloud. so we could actually do our releases on time and do our builds, because we could also scale out, because some of the stuff we were doing needed to scale out to more nodes so it could actually do the run and then reduce the number of nodes. But it was very hard to do that in a data center because it's actually physically tied to a machine and VMs. And you can only scale out so many because you only have so many machines, right? And so by moving it to the cloud, we actually had the flexibility to actually run more complex code. And then I also wanted to have our software available on Marketplace, you know, on both the Azure and AWS marketplaces. And so by doing the development in the cloud, it makes it easier to create what's needed for an actual software release on one of those marketplaces for the AMIs, right? Mm-hmm. And also helps us to do regression testing whenever there is an issue that comes up, see if we can replicate the issue. And because I also had worked in, at the time, our largest customers were, regulated industries. I also knew that my customers would have to meet compliance and regulation requirements. And so because I was already coming from that mind space that this was my customer, these were our biggest customers that consumed our software product, mm-hmm. Then I wanted to make sure we baked those things in at the beginning, right? To ensure that we didn't put things just in public subnets, that most of the all the application servers and web servers and databases were on private subnets, right? And that I actually subnet appropriately to keep things mm-hmm. from being so super chatty across the backplane, like all of the normal networking things that, yeah. But that's bringing that experience and then that, training that experience into my team as we were rolling out our own deployments mm-hmm. and creating those best practices for our customers at the time. So when I was recruited by Dave and Preston to come to D3 Clarity, then it was to help bring those best practices, mm-hmm. you know, to their customers, right? Because Dave and Preston come from the master data management world, which mm-hmm. is customer data, right? And a lot of regulated industries, that is the regulated data, you know, because that's going to be their credit card information, their personally identifiable data, any EPHI data, it's going to be that data, right? So we already came from a perspective of our company to how can you help an organization create a roadmap of governance, mm-hmm. right? That gives them the ability to get a 360 degree view of a customer, but also how can we do that securely so that all the other vendors and suppliers have access to the data that they need, but not the data that they shouldn't have access to. Mm-hmm. And so if you are coming into the cloud from that perspective, mm-hmm. then you already have security and governance baked in and how those things get rolled out. And it helps you with the customer and with the lines of business to understand how they can work that into their maturity cycle, right? They don't have to have it all at once, but how can we create a roadmap that helps get you there? But then taking that same sort of knowledge and helping the network engineers, right? And the security engineers come along with you into the cloud so they can learn how the networking components work, right? So the transit gateways, spoke gateways, edge gateways, is they can understand how that is just like this ASR, right? Mm-hmm. Or they can say that's just like this FortiGate, right? And so that they can leverage and learn that to be able to then grow their own experience. Because yes, they used to take, or they take a long time to do on-prem things, but that's also because they're overloaded. Because there was a time when there used to be 10 or 20 of them, and now there are 5, right? And so they're asked to do the same amount of global work with less people, and they don't even have time to review anything, mm-hmm. you know? And so they're just trying to fix the problems on the things that are breaking, and they don't get asked about anything. And that's why it takes so long for them to get back to you, is they don't have any time.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So
Jen, one question I have is, how did you get introduced to Aviatrix? I know that there was a CSR, migration thing that you were working on, but what were the drivers behind that? And also I think when you're dealing with multiple public clouds, right? So each cloud is built differently. They have different capabilities. All of them are different. Some of them you wouldn't even consider enterprise grade because, as you said, right, you need to have that experience that you are selling an outcome to your customers. You're not just selling a piece of functionality, right? But you're saying that, hey, I'm selling a business outcome and it needs to be secure, it needs to be compliant. I don't want to put my customer data at risk. You need to have that awareness because if you don't have it, all you worry about is just build and connecting the wires. Mm-hmm. That will eventually result into breaches and privacy issues. That's not a good prescriptive advice. But so how did you get, introduced to Aviatrix? And in general, when you talk about multiple public clouds, right? How does it fit into an enterprise strategy of building a cloud network architecture? And how does it interplay with, WAN and the private cloud? What has been your experience in that regard?
Sure. So when we first went to the Amazon cloud, their initial recommendation for a transit network. And so for those who aren't aware, transit network is what you would normally call the WAN, an internal WAN, but in the cloud. It's how you connect your different VPCs, VNets, or VLANs, depending on how people might think about them, but how you connect those together so they can share information, right? And so the recommended solution for that in 2017 into early 2018 was the Cisco CSR. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with the Cisco CSR is it really didn't help us solve problems. We still got limited to 100 routes per route table. We still had to do, we had no way to actually put the CSR onto the transit network. And that might not sound like a big thing, but it kind of is, because it means like if I want to administer the CSRs, I kind of have to attach them over the public internet. It's not great. So from a security perspective, and those ports have to, the UDP ports have to be open. Because if those who are not aware, when you attach other gateways to them, they have to connect over the public subnet, and AWS will assign a public IP, but it won't assign a range. So you never know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And the security groups are limited to a total of 500 rules on a security group. So you can imagine a CSR with a bunch of different gateways attached to it will quickly exceed that. When you think of the TCP and UDP ports, it's two rules per gateway per additional spoke that's attached. And mm-hmm. so then eventually then you have to make it open to the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just not secure. You still would need the key to actually break it, but like it's still, with the right bot farm, you can crack it. You just can. And so, So then we were looking for a more secure solution, but also one that would scale because we were quickly growing the number of VPCs, but we also have a large number of on-prem routes. And so you could just say, well, we'll just summarize everything in both directions so we don't have as many routes. But once again, because we had worked with information security, they want to actually have more restrictive rules up in the cloud about, so we'd share all the routes up, right? But then each VPC, we would allow whether or not they could or couldn't see certain internal routes. And so that would get just very complicated if you were summarizing them when you're sharing them into the transit network, because you don't have individual routes, because then you would have to actually expose specific routes, and then it's a larger issue. So anyway, we solved this. It's called BGP. So instead of sharing static routes, that's why we have BGP. So then via BGP, I can restrict who sees and what doesn't see using 90s technology. So let's just use it. But that's how we came to that conclusion, was the CSR wasn't really helping us. It just, its limitations along with the limitations of Amazon at the time didn't create a great overlap. And an alternative at that time that AWS, the only other alternative at that time was Aviatrix. And we'd never heard of Aviatrix before. So we in Zipcar ran a POC in September, October of 2018 and ran tests against it. At the time, there was no AWS transit gateways. But we ran tests and saw good throughput. And then we started the process of migrating from Cisco CSRs to Aviatrix Transit Gateways. And we had this persistent issue with AWS using the Cisco CSRs on transit, that as soon as we moved over to Aviatrix, it put it to bed. We no longer had the issue. But it was just that the VGWs were scaling up and down and up and down, and it was causing issues for a latency-sensitive application. Mm-hmm. Because whenever there would be route reconvergence, which would happen if it scales up or down, because it actually resets the BGP session. It's very small, right? But if you have an application that doesn't handle route reconvergence, then it could cause it to go down and it won't come back up. So it was very painful. So after switching to the Aviatrix transit gateways, that went away because we never have any route reconvergence. The end application never sees it because the transits handle those for the applications. So they never see the route disappear on their side. So it makes it much easier from that perspective.
So had those requirements from day one been properly set and outcomes properly defined, you would have never gone down the CSR route to start with.
Well, we might have because it was the only solution at the time.
Mm-hmm. Apart from Aviatrix.
Well, no, I'm just saying because Aviatrix didn't exist then.
Okay, right. Right. But I guess the point I'm making, even to this day, those requirements are still ill-defined. Those outcomes are not well established. And people are just taking for granted, I'm going to use cloud native. I'm going to use TGW. I'm going to use whatever, right? Maybe it's because they haven't heard of Aviatrix and they don't know what Aviatrix does or any of the competitors. But had people sat back and thought about it, write down their requirements, write down what it is they want from it in terms of security, in terms of networking capabilities. And they don't have to get down to bits and bytes and talk at that level, but think about it at a high level, pass it through their security and networking team. I'm pretty sure folks will soon see that, hang on, the cloud native constructs are only going to get me so far. Then I've got some gaps.
Yeah. And I think I also think that I think it's just the maturity part. People obviously, you know, I mean, let's say AWS was trying to solve the problem, right? Who would they normally go to get help early on? It was basically those big cloud networking vendors like Cisco. Yeah. And Cisco, I think what they missed the boat on is they, instead of building something for the cloud, they lifted and shifted what they had for branch or for on-prem, and they, what they call cloud washing, and they say, okay, this is your cloud solution. Then they give you a CSR. And I think CSR is not really a cloud native, born the cloud solution. And that's why I think it resulted into a lot of operational nightmares. Visibility is a problem. Device by device management is a problem. Obviously all of the traffic engineering and not understanding the native constructs of each cloud is a problem. And I think it's basically an incumbent's dilemma, right? They just do not have time to build things for the cloud. They have to basically feed the people who are working on selling the on-prem stuff. That's where their bread and butter lies. And I think this is where I think opportunity for was an opportunity for people like Aviatrix to build something for the cloud. And I think we have been very successful. So later on, Jennifer, AWS came out with AWS TGW, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you actually had a solution that AWS recommended, which is TGW. But, you know, in many cases, enterprises prefer Aviatrix Transit because of its advanced capabilities and the things we are building for enterprises to be enterprise grade, more secure, more compliant, have more visibility and troubleshooting capabilities. And especially when you go to a multiple cloud scenario, then you have that optionality to have a repeatable architecture. Maybe some thoughts, Jennifer, on that for our audience that you have seen.
Right. So one of the things is that a lot of organizations, especially large ones, it's never going to be just one cloud and one public cloud. And the reason for that is the public cloud offerings are very different because where they invest and how they invest on different capabilities and features are very different. And so lines of business for an organization don't want to be locked in because they might like the Power BI that's on Azure, right? Because they really like those tools and they want that cloud offering, right? But mm-hmm. then they want to have the, you know, the GCP, you know, Python enabled instances so they can actually do their neural networks faster and cheaper, right? And so then they might, but at the same time, they might be pulling data, right, from a public S3 bucket shared out by NASA, right? And so, so there I have three clouds, right? And so depending upon the organization, they might need to have, they might want to connect those different data to their own applications that might be running on-prem. And how do they do that? And how do they do it easily and not run all of that data over the internet? And so Aviatrix gives the flexibility to do that, right? So, and how they do it, you know, can depend, it gives them the flexibility to do that. And what I mean by that is, say, because Fast Connect links, Direct Connect links, all of them, they have to pay for those high speed, low latency connections. But not every use case initially for a customer requires that, right? And so from those instances, they might get away with connecting their transit in with a site-to-site VPN connection, right? Because if I don't have a low latency application, that might be more analytics driven for models, right? Yeah. So I can might send that over that site-to-site VPN connection. But for a different use case, I can have, you know, a direct connect link where I'm actually connecting to transactional data for a front-end application. And what's really great about having or helping a customer figure out the best solution to connect those is the flexibility of network architecture design that Aviatrix can bring, because you look at your transit gateway and then how you connect different public clouds is the same way you might think about how do I connect my different remote locations at the same time, right? Because like a big development center, I might want to have, you know, direct connect links nearer to those locations, right? But then when I think about retail locations, then some of those might be site-to-site VPN connections into a DMZ that's in the cloud, right? And since I'm using Aviatrix, then I it won't matter which of those are my DMZs that then connect to either Azure, GCP, AWS. Does that make sense? Because then you start to think about like, oh, I'm going to have my all my customers connect in or my users connect in. But if I'm connecting them into a DMZ, it won't matter to me which public cloud they're in, because leveraging that transit, I could control which other cloud and VLAN they have access to in those other clouds. So it gives that flexibility and visibility.
Right. So Jen, let me ask you a little bit about D3 Clarity. What's your differentiator and how are you helping your end customers, you know, get into the cloud field? It's complicated, multi-cloud, different sort of terminology. You know, how is D3 Clarity, you know, assisting in that space?
So what we really offer our customers is the ability to be able to create that cloud governance roadmap. So one of the things that really differentiates us is we do operate in environments that are heavily regulated, whether they're PCI, EPHI, industries, but we provide them, whether it is, because one of our offerings is an MDM as a service. So for their customer data, as I said before, but for our customers' perspective, we provide those environments in compliance with HIPAA and PCI regulations, but then we can securely connect those to their other public cloud offerings or to their on-prem offerings. At the same time, we also help large organizations, medium-sized companies, plan their migration to the cloud so they can stay in compliance, but also have that roadmap of how they can expand and prove out their move to the cloud, help them to define an MVP. We also work, we have Amazon's migration accelerator program, so certification, so we can help leveraging AWS funding, pay to help customers do their initial move out to Amazon cloud so they can reduce their actual cost of moving to the cloud from an initial rollout perspective. So we help them in that way as well.
That's great.
Do you have an Aviatrix first
Always. Always, oh, man. No, yeah. It's one of those things. Is when Steve became the CEO of Aviatrix, I was very much, I'm like, I'm your biggest fan, guys. I'm always Aviatrix first.
Well, I think that's, I think also, I mean, overall, they're partners who are new, right? They're coming in because they get the value of Aviatrix, but Jennifer is one of those, and D3 Clarity, Jennifer is one of those people who actually have seen the pain and how does Aviatrix solve that pain and be very prescriptive with authenticity that, you know, been there, done that, we know what you will see. And I think one of the key things is, you know, some customers, they are all in different maturity of the cloud journey. Some people know the pain today. Some people do not know that they have a pain. But one thing is for guarantee that every cloud deployment can improve on what they have. And I think this will only come with you work with people and learn from each other who have been in this journey for 5-6 years, because they've seen everything, right? We have people who start with journey A, then journey B, then journey C. It's a continuous evolution. And I think having that initial meeting with people who are trusted, you know, go to Jennifer or D3 Clarity, come to Aviatrix, have that one meeting, even over lunch, spend one time on what we can offer that can help you save money, do it better with more security, with more cost, and make you being more agile against your competitors is very important. But I think we are almost about time. And Jennifer, we always do that. We just talk about time. So maybe we'll do another session.
We say 20 minutes, but it's 40 minutes, really.
I know. One thing we wanted to find out is give two key takeaways. One, on what's your advice for career professionals, right, who now see that cloud is happening and they want to be relevant to their business. What can they do to ramp up? I know that ACE is a wonderful thing for people who have no networking security experience. They can go and do ACE. But in general, what would be your guide to advice to them on how they can become relevant? Obviously, they can always come and work for D3 Clarity also. But that's the fastest fast track. The second thing is, what's your advice in general to enterprises in terms who are moving to the cloud? You know, what is one key takeaway that you would want to give them? Obviously, they are listening to CSPs first, but there has to be a neutral stance from people who have been doing this. So what will be that one key takeaway? So two things from you to close this.
Right. Well, I think the first key takeaway is for the networking professionals. I think ACE is good because then you understand how to do something multi-cloud. But additionally, I think getting taking a CSP's architecture design classes to understand how the developers are going to be taught how to come at this problem. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that way you can use the same language, mm-hmm. you know, and so you can start to talk that language and actually come from the perspective of I'm helping you, because that's really what you're trying to do. Right? You're trying to help them and the business be successful. You're not trying to block them. Right? Yeah. So those things two together, the ACE training with learning the CSP architecture design so that you can have intelligent conversations and not talk past each other is really helpful.
Yeah.
But then for the businesses, it's really don't allow a CSP to lock you in. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when someone says this is the best way to do it, and I will let you connect this other cloud by doing it the other way, dig in with them about what that would mean and what the other cloud vendor is going to have to do. Because a lot of times when you actually dig a little bit deeper, they don't know. They're just telling you that, no, I'll allow you to connect to the other cloud vendor, but not really telling you how that's going to work, because they don't really have a solution in that they're going to rely on whoever your network team is to figure that one out. You know, and when that happens, you know, have us part of that conversation, D3 Clarity, Aviatrix. We can tell you how we'll make that happen and happen securely. But just ask that question of your CSP, right? Yep. How will you allow me to connect to either data or an application that's in another public cloud, right? Yeah. And how can I do that securely without going over the internet?
Right. And I mean, do that even if you don't have two clouds today, because I'm pretty sure that your business, some other opportunity will make you have that second cloud. And as an architect, as an infrastructure team, you need to be ready for that. So this is a very, very good advice, Jen, from your side.
And also, don't be locked in.
And I think this is one dilemma that I think that it's not like dilemma is that, you know, each cloud provider is coming out their own things that work for own services. I'm not saying they are bad or good. The problem is it's not for enterprises, meaning that I want to commoditize my CSPs and I want to use all of them, right? And this is my big data center, and I want to have a technology and a platform that allows me to enable that. That's the key part.
You just don't want to be rigid.
Exactly.
Exactly. But from the on-prem world, they didn't allow themselves to be locked in with one vendor, Cisco or Arista or Juniper. So why would you do that in the cloud?
Exactly. And then the other thing was, this is my experience also, that if you want to become relevant in the cloud, first understand at least one cloud from a networking security perspective, do their associate or professional level course. Doesn't matter whether it's Azure or AWS or GCP, Oracle, doesn't matter. But then it will allow you to understand the native constructs on how networking gets done in the cloud. And then you come and do do the cloud first so that you have a basic understanding of what, as Jen was saying, what you're referring to, because it's not going to be on-prem. It's very different. Mm-hmm. Concepts, it's less routing and switching, but you need to understand what is VGW, IGW, NAT gateways, all of these DX and EX. You need to understand that. Then quickly go to ACE, associate, at least professional. Mm-hmm. Right. And then once you do that, you have a full picture of how I need to treat that cloud networking security. And I think it will fast track you. And then obviously connecting with the prescriptive advisors like Jennifer and D3 Clarity, and come to Avitrix, you know, info@avitrix.com or avitrix.com. Just go and reserve a 1 hour meeting. I think it will definitely benefit you, because as I said earlier, there's improvement regardless of whether you see the pain or not. You can make improvements just by putting certain things in place.
Yep.
So thank you, Jennifer. Really appreciate such a good piece of advice here on this podcast. And I think we will have to do one more or two more in certain areas, because we did not even cover the healthcare vertical that you guys are really specialized in. And that's something that, I mean, if you have a healthcare, if you're a healthcare in vertical and you want to do, or you want to have someone manage the cloud networking security and other migration pieces, I think the D3 Clarity specializes in that. So
yeah,
come and talk to us.
You'll be back.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's been fantastic. We'll